Within a few weeks, it may all be academic, just another round of allegations, denials, threats, and counter-threats between Iraq, the United States, and the UN. But for the next few days, the litmus test of Iraqi behavior is the controversy over a weapon called the Al-Samud II. Its name is Arabic for steadfastness, and it's the missile that Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix says exceeds the 150-kilometer limit laid down by the UN.
In 1991, Iraq fired Scud missiles at Israel and Saudi Arabia. The Scuds weren't very accurate, but they could fly 300 kilometers and hit Tel Aviv. One term of Iraq's disarmament was not having any missiles that could go that far. In what seems to have been an arbitrary decision, Iraq was told the range of its missiles could not exceed 150 kilometers, half the range of the Scud. 11 days ago, Hans Blix told the Security Council he had found no stores of chemical or biological weapons and no clear evidence of a nuclear weapons program. But when it came to the missiles, his message was unmistakable. They must be destroyed, and soon, starting March 1st.
Iraq has protested that the Al-Samud II is permissible. Hans Blix's conclusion was based on the finding of a UN panel of experts. Richard Speer is a former Pentagon non-proliferation officer.
The governments who provided panel members were the governments of the P5, the U.S., the U.K., France, Russia, and China, as well as the government of Ukraine.
Speer concedes that the report of that panel has not been made public, but he says the U.N.'s experts studied the information in Iraq's own massive declaration on its weapons of mass destruction.
Based only on their information, the range as tested was up to 22% greater than the allowed range.
Another 33 kilometers, or about 21 miles. According to Richard Speer's arithmetic, that 22% increment in range doubles the area in which the missile can be based and still hit the same target. How do the experts know what the missile's range is? Tim McCarthy inspected Iraqi missiles in the 1990s for the UN Special Commission, UNSCOM.
There's two basic methods, both empirical, that is, you actually fly it and test it, and the second is to run simulations, and they're very effective computer simulations that tell you ranges. And in both cases, it's very clear that the missile flew consistently over 150 kilometers.
Now, there's some dispute at this point, Iraq claiming that actually, if the missile is armed and loaded, it doesn't go that far, and therefore it isn't a violation. Is that something that one uses the computer simulation for?
The thing about that is the Iraqis have argued that when they put the weight of the warhead and a guidance system on a missile, that it won't fly as far. Now, theoretically, that's absolutely the case. The problem is that, indeed, right now, as it's being flown, the missile does have warhead weight and the missile does have a guidance system. What actually Iraq wants to do, and what they're not telling a lot of folks, is that they want to put in a second guidance system.
Why would you put a second guidance system into a single missile?
It has to do with what they call terminal guidance. Terminal guidance is as the missile is descending, and it just makes the missile more accurate. And there's a lot of very complicated issues involved with that, not the least of which is any kind of terminal guidance system would require a number of years of work on the part of Iraq.
So you're saying what the Iraqis claim would be a fully loaded Al-Samud II is nothing like the missile that they have right now?
They are saying a fully loaded missile would be too heavy and therefore the range would be reduced, except they're deploying the missile now without this second guidance system. Therefore, the missile is operational, and therefore, it seems to me they're flying it, and it's certainly flying beyond the 150-kilometer range.
Mr. McCarthy, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're very welcome.
Former UN Weapons Inspector Tim McCarthy. The Al-Samud II has taken on great political significance. If Saddam Hussein destroys them, it could be argued that he's complying with the UN. Arms inspections are working and might continue to work. If he refuses to comply with Hans Blix's demand, then it would be that much harder for France or Germany or Russia to argue that the UN inspectors are getting the job done. But how important a military asset is Saddam Hussein being told to relinquish? Retired Major General Robert Scales is former president of the U.S. Army War College. Is the Al-Samud II missile a very important weapon in Iraq's arsenal?
It's only important if the delivery of weapons of mass destruction are important. And the only weapon of mass destruction that even remotely would fit on this missile would be chemical. So This is a weapon that's designed literally from the ground up to deliver chemical weapons.
But what if, say, U.S. troops were based in Kuwait, poised to move on Iraq? Would they be a potential target for an attack with an Al-Samud 2 missile?
Well, it's really hard to say. My understanding is this weapon has no terminal guidance, and it has an inertial guidance system, not a great deal more sophisticated than the Scuds, perhaps even less so. So its accuracy is measured in thousands of meters. Now, we can talk about chemical weapons being, you know, a weapon that's designed to cover large areas, but still, it takes a great many of these missiles to create a footprint large enough to do any harm to American troops, particularly if the American troops are properly trained and equipped and warned that the missile is on the way. So it truly is a unique terror weapon, the sort of weapon that's, again, very unique to the Iraqi military.
Well, what roughly is the world's experience of the combat use of missiles of roughly this kind of range or potency?
It's interesting you should ask that question, Robert, because the pedigree of this missile really goes back to the German V-2, which was developed, as you know, as a terror weapon back during World War II, and it was aimed at Antwerp and Copenhagen and London. It's always been considered or used as a terror weapon for, almost 60 years now. The Scud is a direct derivation of the V-2, and the Al-Samud is an adaptation of the Scud.
In that case, the decision of Saddam Hussein to relinquish it would be a reasonable test of his willingness to relinquish weapons of mass destruction in general.
Very, very good point. If Saddam is intent on resisting this invasion using conventional military means, much as he did in 1991, then he would relinquish the missiles. If he intends, perhaps, to turn this campaign into a campaign of terror against the United States and against neighboring countries, he would probably hold on to it. So that's a very interesting litmus test, isn't it?
General Scales, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Robert.
Retired Major General Robert Scales, former president of the U.S. Army War College. Iraq's Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz said today that no decision has been made on whether to destroy the missiles. And as for Chief U.N. Arms Inspector Blix, he, like the name of the missile in question, has remained steadfast.
We have set the date for the commencement of the destruction of these missiles, and we expect that to be respected.
The deadline for starting to destroy the missiles is Saturday.